The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Evolution of Black Moms on Screen. Cultural critic Zeba Blay examines how character portrayals from Julia to Rainbow and of every black TV matriarch in between have reshaped motherhood right in our own living rooms. 1980s, Felicia Rashad as Claire Huxtable. The Cosby Show, 1984-1992. You could say Claire Huxtable is the prototype for black moms on TV. Beautiful, funny, and intelligent. She was a partner at the New York City law firm. Claire effortlessly managed her career and a chaotic household. Part of the Cosby Show's mission was to present America with an idyllic portrait of a respectable, affluent black family. Felicia Rashad's role as Claire was integral to that image, even as she captivated audiences for nearly a decade with her innate realness. Jo Marie Payton as Harriet Winslow, Family Matters, 1989 through 1998. Much like Good Times, Family Matters originally focused on a working-class black family facing real issues, but eventually got overshadowed by a zany fan-favorite character. Still, while Jaleel White, playing Steve Urkel, was a breakout star, Jo Marie Payton's portrayal of Harriet Winslow made her one of TV's best-loved moms. Bold, witty, and unafraid to set her kids straight when they stepped out of line, alongside husband Coral, played by Reginald Vale Jansen, Harriet also showed us one of the first consistent depictions of black love on prime time. 1990s, Janet Hubert as Vivian Banks, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, 1990 through 1996. There were technically two Aunt Vives, both great, but Janet Hubert's portrayal of Vivian Banks is arguably better known. Aunt Vive was adamant about teaching her children and her nephew Will the importance of black history. You can wear the t-shirt, you can put us up on a poster, and you can shout the slogan, she told Will in season one. But until you know all the history behind it, you're trivializing the entire struggle. Jack A. Harry as Lisa Landry, Sister Sister, 1994 through 1999. Lisa Landry introduced a new model for the black mom on TV. She was single and ready to mingle, raising her adopted daughter, Tia, alongside Ray, the adoptive father of Tia's twin, Tamara. A free spirit and fashion designer, Lisa was fun and wild, but always willing to lend an ear to the teens. I absolutely did not want to play Lisa Landry, actress Jack A. Harry said of the role in 2021. I was too young and sexy to be anybody's mother. But I'm glad I did, because it helped me realize how fulfilling it is to mentor younger women. Cheryl Lee Ralph as Dee Mitchell, Moesha, 1996 through 2001. With Dee Mitchell, TV was introduced to another kind of black TV mom, the stepmom, while Moesha centered mostly on the teenage adventures of its titular character, played by Brandy, the dynamic between mother and daughter was essential to the show. As played by Cheryl Lee Ralph, Dee was level-headed and took no nonsense, often clashing with her stubborn stepdaughter as a result. Eventually, the two formed a real bond, proving that every mother-daughter relationship has the potential to grow. Monique as Nikki Parker, The Parkers, 1999 through 2004. The Parkers was a spin-off of Moesha, featuring the escapades of Kim Parker and her charismatic mother, Nikki Parker, played by Monique, Nikki was forced to drop out of high school when she found out she was pregnant with Kim. And the series follows her as she pursues a degree at Santa Monica College along with her daughter. One of the most captivating aspects of Nikki, aside from how hilarious she could be, was the fact that her life did not revolve around her daughter. We got to see a beautiful plus-size woman pursue dreams and love on her own terms. The 2000s, Tashina Arnold as Rochelle Rock, Everybody Hates Chris, 2005 through 2009. Inspired by Chris Rock's real mother, Rochelle was a mother of three and loving but strict matriarch of the family, played wonderfully by sitcom legend Tashina Arnold. Rochelle was a disciplinarian with a bit of an anger problem. This made for surprising hilarity, as with the time when her husband declared that cooking and cleaning ain't that hard, sparking her to go off on him for diminishing the work of a stay-at-home mom. Are you crazy? You do my job for one day and now it ain't that hard. Tell him, Rochelle. Wendy Raquel Robinson as Tasha Mack. The Game, 2006 through 2015. Wendy Raquel Robinson's Tasha Mack was a sitcom mom unlike any other, less Claire Huxtable and more Machiavelli. At the start of the series, she's the brash, bold manager of her football player's son, Malik Wright, pushing him to become the best in the game. When he fires her, Tasha pivots to building her own management company and her identity outside the shadow of her son, once again proving that motherhood is only one facet of a woman. 2010s and beyond, Taraji P. Henson as Cookie Lion, Empire, 2015 through 2020. Cookie Lion was not a cookie-cutter mother. When we first met her on Empire, she had just completed a 17-year prison bid after taking the fall for her husband, Lucius. Now free and trying to rebuild her life, her relationship with her three sons, Cookie's number one priority was reclaiming her stake in the music empire she had helped build. Due to Taraji P. Henson's masterful acting, Cookie was complex, defiant, outspoken, vulnerable, messy, and always ready to protect her own. Michaela J. Rodriguez as Blanca Hossie, 2018 through 2021. You can't talk about black moms on television without talking about Blanca from Posse, played by Golden Globe winning performer Michaela J. Rodriguez. As a trans woman and mother of the House of Evangelista, Blanca is fiercely loving, protective, and supportive of all her children, offering a beautiful representation of what a chosen family looks like within the Black and Latinx LGBTQ community. Tracy Ellis Ross as Rainbow Bo Johnson, Blackish, 2014 through 2022. Only Tracy Ellis Ross could have played Rainbow Bo Johnson, the matriarch of Blackish. Warm, humorous, and a little out there, Bo spent her childhood on a commune with hippie parents. This makes her sometimes see the world and race through rose-colored glasses. Through the show's 8 seasons, we see Bo juggle her demanding career as an anesthesiologist, her 5 kids, a not always easy marriage, and the stress of a newborn baby with grace, charm, and joy. Susan Watson as Beth Pearson. This is Us, 2016-2022. Though it boasts a stellar cast and much-loved characters, This Is Us would not be the same without Beth Pearson. Thanks to scene stealer Susan Watson, Beth was the perfect mixture of strength and softness, a loving mother, and a dedicated mentor. Beth was unafraid to read her husband, Randall, when he needed to be read, but she was also there to support him and her family through the hardest of times. And on an ensemble show like this, there were many. She also gave the best for the Pearson family. Lovely people, cried a lot, dramatic Thanksgivings. The next article is titled The Safe House, as Cardi B and Offset manage marriage, music, and money moves, family security always comes first. The first time I met Cardi B and Offset, it's during Art Basel. We're in a cabana atop Pharrell Williams' Good Time Hotel in Miami Beach for the launch of Cardi's newest business venture, Whip Shots. I make small talk while hoping to close the deal on the Essence cover offer we extended a month prior, as Cardi lets Offset in on the news that we want to feature their family as the stars of our anniversary issue. He replies with a smile and a casual, "Let's do it." It will be just shy of 3 months before I see the couple again. Cover locked in. They graciously allow me into their Beverly Hills home for a joint interview. Standing on their doorstep, I admire the spiral staircase I can see through the large window in the entryway. I recognize it from a picture on Cardi's Instagram. Moments later, I'm sitting on a brown sectional across from Cardi herself in the family room of the luxurious multi-level home. My voice recorder and a laundry list of questions queued up, but Offset isn't there. He's somewhere boarding a plane to do a show. Before this interview, I hadn't seen her in like 7 days. The Migos rapper tells me 5 days later, when we all finally reunite in their sprawling New Jersey mansion. Exhausted from trying to keep up with this ever-changing schedule for just a few weeks, I wonder how they do it. Cardi B, 29, and Offset, 30, aren't just mega successful music superstars in their own right. They are husband and wife and parents to their 3-year-old daughter, Culture, and 7-month-old son, Wave. Offset is also a father to 3 older children from previous relationships, daughter, Kayla, 7, and sons, Jordan, 12, and Cody, also 7. It was Cardi who asked on a Zoom call whether she could talk to our editorial and creative team, Woman to Woman, about the possibility of including her stepchildren in our photo shoot. While she doesn't want to disturb the relationships she has with the mothers of Offset's children, more than anything, she doesn't want any of his kids to feel left out. After we got married, that's when I first met his kids. Cardi says during our sit-down interview, "I always wanted them to love me, and they really do. They tell me that. I feel it, and I hope that we always have a great relationship." Cardi and Offset knew about the realities of blending families long before they had to navigate those waters themselves. "I have 2 brothers, and we have 3 different dads," Offset says. "I never heard of a half-brother. Those are my brothers." While Cardi and her sister Hennessy have the same mother and father, she has an additional 6 siblings from her father's previous relationship. That family dynamic shaped Cardi's desire for all of Offset's kids to forge a close bond. The graciousness of that attitude isn't lost on the father of 5. It's a blessing to be able to have them all together and to have a wife who's open and treats them as if they are her kids, he says. "It could be an issue, but I don't have to go through that, and that's beautiful." Cardi and Offset meet for the first time in January 2017 after sliding into the DMs of one of Cardi's friends to let her know he was interested in the budding rapper. Offset invited Cardi to a Bad and Bougie dinner he was hosting. to celebrate his rap group's Billboard Hot 100 chart-topping single of the same name. When my friend told me that he was trying to holler at me, I was like, I'm not trying to deal with no industry rappers because I already know what type of time they're on. Hardy candidly admits, I was scared. I'm a relationship girl. Though she accepted the dinner invitation and even gave Offset her number after he piqued her interest, she was a bit more hesitant about agreeing to go on a first date to Super Bowl V, no less. Cardi, who at the time was 4 months away from dropping her career-defining debut album, single Bodak Yellow, was trying to protect not just her heart but her image. Before agreeing to the extravagant date, she had the friend Offset had previously messaged to talk to him about her concerns. I said, I don't want to be seen in public with a rapper if he's not serious about me, Cardi explains. It would be embarrassing to go on a date with a guy and my career is just starting off, and then the next day he's not into me anymore. I would have been crushed. While Cardi was worried about public opinion, Offset was focused on making a good impression. I was thinking, let me go big, man, he says, of securing prime time seats for one of the biggest sporting events. It was a vibe. Fortunately, the good vibes continued as the pair got to know each other better. Though Cardi notes, the smooth sailing wasn't that smooth in the beginning. I had a little luggage, Offset admits before Cardi jumps in, and I had to unpack it, she says. It's still early in our interview, and I'm trying to read the room. It's a $69 ride share away from my hotel in Midtown Manhattan. $127 if I decide to splurge on an Uber black car to get picked up at the couple's multi-million dollar home in grand style. It's 36 degrees outside, fresh snow is on the ground, and I know it will be an excruciating wait in the driveway in front of the gate of their not-so-humble abode if this man kicks me out for mentioning his alleged aversion to monogamy before we've built a proper rapport. Thankfully, I don't have to make that call. Knowing that his wife is glossing over the details, Offset sets the record straight. She's being nice. But she was pressing, he says. She was letting it be known. Listen, buddy, I'm about to chuck the deuces if you don't tighten up. His response, he says, was, I'm finna make you mine. On September 20th, 2017, Offset and Cardi made the relationship official when they got married in the bedroom of his Atlanta home on what was something of a dare. We were making out and he was like, you're going to have my baby one day. And I was like, we ain't having no baby. You have to marry me. And he was like, all right, let's get married, Cardi recalls. The moment of passion took a left turn when the couple got into an argument, one that Bronx bred Cardi thought would mean the end of their relationship. So she decided to test Offset's sincerity. I was like, let's just get married then. You said you wanted to marry me, and we did. 7 months ago, after saying I do, Cardi announced during an April 2018 performance on Saturday Night Live that she was and Offset were expecting their first child together. Instantly, she felt pressure to maintain her status as not just the hottest female rapper in the industry, but the biggest MC, period. I was really nervous because everybody around me was nervous, she says. People who work in the industry said that nothing like this had really happened before when somebody was at the height of their career and they got pregnant. Cardi leaned on her new husband during that time of uncertainty. He kept telling me, trust me, it's going to be all right. You're huge. Everybody loves you. People are going to understand. And I just kept telling myself I have to put out my album before I get big. And I can't do these music videos. I can't let everybody in the industry that believes in me down. It wasn't just Offset's words that provided comfort during that first pregnancy, Cardi says. It was also the example he'd set as a dad. When I first got pregnant, a lot of people used to be on some "you're a fourth baby mom" SHIT. But when I had my baby, I felt like things were going to be all right because I know the type of man that he is with his kids. It's hard for me to explain, but I see how much he loves his kids and how passionate he is about his kids, and I love that. Offset understood Cardi's fears, as he had his own when he first became a father at the age of 17. I was scared because I was a kid, he recalls. I was still living with my mama. After his first son, Jordan, was born, Offset welcomed his second child, Cody, when he was 23. By that time, his rap group Migos had already dropped popular singles Versace and Fight Night. I was in a better space. Offset says, I was on. I was able to do way more than with my first. It's Cody, the pair says, who's most like his Grammy Award nominated pops. It's not just because he too has a perfectly lined up set of locks, aspires to be a rapper, and will randomly ask his dad to call a music engineer to record him spitting lyrics, a request Offset regularly obliges. It's also his easygoing demeanor. During the photo shoot for this story, he doesn't utter a single complaint when we ask him to pose for hours, not even to whine as he fights off sleep during the last shoot of the night. There's an undeniable cool about him, which is the same word Cardi and Offset use to describe Jordan. He's quiet and observant, and that's a side that Offset definitely has too, Cardi says, of her husband's firstborn. They are paying attention, and they are analyzing everything. Offset's third child, Kalila, was born less than 3 weeks after Cody. On set, she's a natural, posing in Richard Quinn and Lily Couture as if she was born with a modeling contract in her hand. Yet she's as sweet and spirited as she is aware of her angles, and it's clear Cardi adores her as much as she does her own birth daughter, whom she gushes over. Since the day she came out, she was so gorgeous, Cardi says of Culture. She's like a breath of fresh air. On the brink of turning four, Culture is rambunctious and doesn't yet have the same poise as her big sister in front of the cameras, but it's not hard to see the burgeoning star within her. Even with famous parents who want to make sure she stays grounded, we still teach our kids like normal parents, Offset says. I've never told my daughter she's a celebrity. I want her to have the mind of a working person. I always tell my kids how hard I worked, how many years I put in to be in a position where everything is good. It took some time for Cardi and Offset to create a solid marital foundation as well. In December 2018, 5 months after Culture was born, Cardi announced via Instagram that she and her then newly husband had split. Couples often say the first year of marriage is the hardest, and their union was a testament to that. I feel like our first year, even though we were in love with each other, we had a lot of lust, Cardi says. We didn't really know each other like that because he was doing 4 shows a week. I was doing 4 shows a week. We would see each other about 3 or 4 times a month. A little more than a year later, they reconciled. And though the couple's professional obligations haven't necessarily slowed down, Offset is preparing to release his second solo studio album this summer, and Cardi is working on new music while filming her Meta original series, Cardi Tries. Things are much better. As Offset says, we understand our job. As such, the couple give each other freedom to prioritize their careers when necessary. It might sound weird, but we don't always put love first, because sometimes you can put love before work and mess up your career because you're not focused, Offset says. Love is important, but if you've got that foundation, we should respect each other and what we have going on. I had never experienced a woman that was working like me and doing what I'm doing. It turns me on. She does her own thing. She likes the hustle, so that ain't never getting in between our love. Hardy and Offset are balancing work responsibilities with another little one in the home. Wave was born on September 4th, 2021. This time around, it isn't just industry pressure they're up against. It's internet bullies like those who recently led Cardi to make Culture's Instagram page, which has more than 2 million followers, private. We went through a lot of sad things when it comes to Culture, terrible behavior that not even the older kids have ever been through, Cardi reveals. So many people will post mean, disgusting things just to get a reaction from us. It was for that reason the couple waited to show Wave to the world. Cardi admits, we want to protect our feelings because we get very, very angry and upset. Protection is an important element in the couple's relationship, particularly when it comes to finances. Even before they were married, Offset took an interest in Cardi's business deals. From the beginning, I remember he used to ask to see my contracts, and I would be like, boy, I don't know you like that, Cardi says. But when I started letting him in on more things, I started seeing things differently. People have cut me short a lot, and ever since I have involved him in my business, I've been doing so much better. Sometimes people will make you feel you deserve less than what you're worth. Offset chalks Cardi's early experience up to the nature of the business, which is designed to take advantage of newer artists. Admitting he had to bump his own head a time or two, he says when it comes to his oversight nowadays, I just want to make sure the family's straight. We have children together. We have family behind us. They are depending on us. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.